Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is a podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, I'm joined by our Chief Executive, James.
Hello.
And our Government Relations Director, Ed Woodall.
Hi.
And we are talking about probably the biggest news in recent memory, the biggest agenda item in the coming months, the biggest agenda item for the next Prime Minister, which we will get to, and that is the energy crisis. And this is something that has made headlines, not just because of the way that the cap is going, because of the way that profits are going for the big energy companies and what we do with that, but also the impact on businesses. And we've done a lot of work on how we're anticipating this to impact our sector, and the impacts are significant. James, talk a bit to that and what we're expecting just this year on costs for convenience stores.
Yeah, so the figure, when we talk about pence figures, I'm talking about kilowatts per kilowatt hour. So back in the early parts of this year, we were having members phoning us up and saying at meetings, you know, I can't believe it, my energy costs have doubled. And that would probably be from roughly about 16 pence per kilowatt hour to about 32, or that sort of order of things. And obviously now, anyone who's in the market looking at rates knows that that's doubled again, at least, you know, and many people are being quoted not far short of a pound per kilowatt hour. So it's got to that sort of level. And
we're talking about electricity here, because for the most part, I mean, 90% of stores will probably not have any, or if they do have some, very little gas.
Yeah, it's almost all electricity. And this is translating into cost. It depends how much electricity you use, but this is translating into, you know, five-figure increases in the cost of electricity for stores. In some cases, quite high five-figure levels, and that is obviously unsustainable. One thing that is worth saying, of course, as retailers will know, is, you know, retailers will be very clear in their own mind about when their renewal date is. So if people are in contracts at the moment, they are on the face of it protected from these price increases. But number one, that contract comes to an end at some point. So who knows what the situation is going to be. Maybe they'll look back and wish they were renewing now when their quoted prices for renewal when that comes up. Secondly, some of those companies are still putting up prices within contracts. And thirdly, some of those companies are shutting down or are going to administration.
Yeah, so those second and third points. So that's really interesting, right? So if you are on a fixed contract, you think, okay, I'm absolutely safe here, no problems, got a fixed contract. But what we're hearing is that energy companies can still unilaterally just say, well, actually, no, sorry, we're going to put that up. And there's sort of nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, well, the ultimate sanction you have normally is a customer in any situation to say, I'll take my business elsewhere. And they say, okay, fine, take your business elsewhere. And what you'd see then is, in the open market, far higher prices that you're faced with. So yeah, retailers are in a tough position where that's happening to them. But for the most part, you'd still much rather be in a longer term contract and then hopefully at a time renewing when hopefully prices have come down. And we might come on to talk about the long term, and we're not, you know, energy market analysts, but, you know, it's difficult to see where this really comes to an end, isn't it? I mean, these aren't sort of short term blips. These are, you know, the war in Ukraine and a lot of other factors. I mean, these are long term challenges facing us. So
yeah. And all of those changes, that adds up to quite a big number, Ed, that's right?
Yeah, huge cost for retailers in terms of their cost on their business, a £2.5 billion cost for the sector in terms of energy. And that's why we're out asking the government for support to help with that increased cost. And hopefully we'll have seen the work that we've done to engage with the Chancellor and other ministers to ask for support around a small business energy price cap to help with that in the first instance.
Yeah, so written to the Chancellor, written to Ofgem, written to senior government officials, highlighting how much of a problem this is. And I think what was really interesting, that we sent the letter in ourselves, we've heard other business groups send in letters as well, essentially all coalescing around the same kind of ideas. So, I mean, this is a crisis that's affecting all businesses, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. This is certainly not specific to us. And there are some sectors that are probably more energy intensive. You think about some hospitality sectors and so on, where they're preparing food on premises and things like that. And they will be using a lot of gas and things like that. So yeah, absolutely. This is an absolutely cross business issue. And, you know, during the pandemic, our sector was classed as essential business. We're allowed to stay open. We did receive some support during that time. And some businesses traded up during that time, some traded down during that time, depending on their location. But we generally, throughout the pandemic and generally in our narrative to governments and externally, we don't say thousands of shops are going to shut, because our sector is really resilient. We find ways through the challenges we're faced with, and goodness knows we're faced with them all the time. But this is—it's just impossible to see, really, how this can be. We know we've had people phoning us up and saying, "I've been quoted 70p, 75p per unit, and on that basis, I will have to shut down." And that might be a decision they have to take reasonably quickly. So we are at the point where we are looking at store closures if nothing is done to support and compensate those businesses.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the detail on exactly what we're calling for, Ed. You mentioned some of this. Some of the measures that we talked about in the letter. What specifically are we looking at? You mentioned an energy price cap, first of all. What does that look like?
So it's an energy price cap per kilowatt hour for small businesses, because, of course, the current price caps that we have are for consumers. They don't extend to businesses, and we need that to extend to convenience retailers. So we're looking at using the Ofgem, any criteria within the Ofgem definition of what a small business is, to be able to benefit from a small business price cap. So that might be on your employee numbers, it might be on your energy usage, or it might be on your turnover. But if you meet any of those criteria, then you should qualify for a small business energy price cap. And obviously the new government and the new Prime Minister has to work through exactly what that price cap looks like. But based on our conversation, that's got to be pretty high on the list of things that they have to look at straight away. So that's the first element, the price cap. And I think the government has to just recognise that we're not in a world where we're dealing with a fair market, a properly functioning market. Mm-hmm. And actually, they have to respond in a very similar way that they did in terms of the sort of COVID environment, where they said this market is not functioning, therefore we need to make big interventions in that space. So that's the first element, is around the small, the energy price cap. The second element, of course, is that some businesses will, in our sector and other sectors, sit outside of that, so they need additional support as well. And what we saw during COVID was obviously the use of the business rate system to be able to deliver further support. So the next measure is around capping, 100% relief on business rates for businesses again to the end of the financial year. And we saw that as a great mechanism for delivering support really quickly and directly to businesses to help them to deal with this short-term shock at the moment. And we can talk about other things longer term, about insulating and, you know, minimum energy efficiency targets for buildings, but actually the government have to focus about what's happening now and what's happening up to the spring next year and how they get support to businesses and households immediately. So that was the second one. And then third one, of course, is around freezing the multiplier for business rates. So that's looking a little bit further ahead in terms of, look, we've got a revaluation coming up for business rates. People are going to have their business rates bills reset. But actually, based on where inflation is right now, that's going to jump up to something like 10%, if not a little bit more. So they need support to make sure they're not feeling that additional cost at the same time as energy price increases and all the other things that they're facing as well.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, where do I fit into all of this? If your turnover is 2 million euros, about 1.7 million pounds, depending on how the currency's been trading over the last couple of weeks, generally in the wrong direction, unfortunately. But if you're under that turnover, if you have 10 full-time equivalent staff or fewer, or if you use 100,000 kilowatt hours of electricity a year or less, which is not going to be many stores based on what we've looked at, any of those criteria, you will benefit from a cap at 52 pence per kilowatt hour. But then if you're bigger than that, as Ed mentioned, you're then probably more likely to benefit from the business rates relief. So there's not a huge amount of overlap in terms of those interventions, which is why we're hoping that the government will listen to this kind of thing and say, well, actually, it's not doubly benefiting or excluding lots of businesses. As you ratchet up in terms of size, it's probably going to help you across the board.
It's trying to make sure you help everyone, or help everyone that needs it, or have that spread. There are other things as well that we certainly thought about, and that we didn't rule out as things, but we overall felt were probably a bit less impactful. So an increase to the employment allowance, for example, so that's going up from £4,000 to £5,000 this year. This is the first amount that your first four or this year £5,000 of employer's national insurance that you pay. You won't have to pay that. That's current government policy. Whether that could be increased, yes, we welcome that for sure. But actually, because a lot of people in our sector work part-time, that wouldn't have a massive impact to our employer national insurance bill isn't necessarily that high anyway. So that would have a huge impact. We've also looked around green levies and the impact they have on energy bills. In the context of the increases people are looking at, that's pretty small. I mean, that's the reality. Probably on average, £600, £700 a business. Not insignificant, don't get me wrong. Every business would like to have £600 or £700 in their account now to cope with some of these costs. But it's small compared with the increases we're seeing.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about the timelines on this. So the letters to the Chancellor is in, letters to the Department for Business is in, letters to Ofgem is in. We have been all over the media. Hopefully you've seen some of the coverage on this. James talking about this on Five Live a couple of weeks ago, so coverage in The Guardian, FT, Independent, and others. And we're still going to be out there campaigning on that in the coming weeks. We have been in a bit of a sort of no man's land for the last couple of months. But hopefully that's going to change imminently. So, Ed, talk us through the timeline of what's coming next in terms of who's going into number 10, when, and then what they're going to do when they get there.
Sure. So obviously, as you said, Chris, I think, you know, everyone's seen this in the media. There is government in place, but they're not actually doing anything. And that's obviously a real worry when these big increases are being seen in households and businesses across the country. So I think at the moment, what we're seeing is departments talking to us and talking to the Department of Business shortly after this call around these energy issues and looking to brief into whoever the new Prime Minister is around their options. So the first step, I think, is, you know, 5th of September, we have the new Prime Minister, whoever that might be. Obviously, Liz Truss is looking like she's leading in terms of the polls and indicators, but we have to wait and see the result. Mm-hmm. First thing we have is the Cabinet reshuffle, assumed within the first 3 or 4 days next week, which is going to be important to see personnel leading different departments and outlooks, and it will give us a sort of feel for the outlook of this government. But then, of course, we've seen lots of coverage around a fiscal event at which the new Prime Minister and the new Chancellor will have to stand up and say, well, this is the support we're going to offer to households and businesses with this energy crisis. And, you know, it's got to be quick. It's going to be pretty big, I think, significant, similar to the budget that we saw right at the beginning of 2020 when we had the sort of start of the COVID lockdown crisis for those types of interventions. So that is where we'd be looking for around about the week commencing the 12th, I think, just before the recess for party conferences, that we would see some kind of intervention around a cap or business rate support or whatever it might be that they decide to do. And then, of course, Parliament goes off again for the party conference season. Again, which is an opportunity for the leadership candidates to sort of set out their stall further in terms of interventions and support measures that they'll deliver to people. So it's going to be quite a frantic September, I think it'd be fair to say. Lots of new announcements expected then.
Yeah, so that's important then, isn't it? Because we don't expect that the next Prime Minister is going to be able to hold off and face party conference without having made announcements. So when they rise on the 22nd of September, that's sort of the last possible date that they can do this. So we're expecting something in the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really those 3 weeks, weeks of the 5th, weeks of the 12th and the 19th are the 3 weeks in which something would have to happen. And of course, you know, we're taking this in wider context, kind of go back to the beginning. Consumers are expecting something. The general public, this is a massive business issue, but it's also, as you're saying, it's a massive public issue. Mm. And so the general public, the electorate, are, you know, expecting something, and it's very, very important that business support is included in those policies and those announcements.
So hopefully some intervention, hopefully along the lines of what we've called for in the next few weeks. But if we think a bit longer term, and if we think about what the price cap could be doing in the future, the projections right now are for the price cap to go up to 60, 65, 70 pence per kilowatt hour for electricity by the spring. At that level, these are levels that retailers are telling us right now are not sustainable. I think it's difficult for us to call for anything more than that at the moment because of the way that works with consumers. But does this signal a longer-term shift in the way that convenience stores do business, and can you see, even with these interventions, can you see difficult decisions having to be made next year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're talking about a price cap. We know how much the public are so concerned about having to pay energy bills with a price cap. Mm. So having a price cap for business, isn't, it doesn't solve the problem. It just puts a cap on. It just moderates to some extent the absolute worst excesses of the price increases that we're facing. So no, that it does not unfortunately solve all those problems. The government's going to have to think about an ongoing business support package, I think. And partly also because of the context of other costs that we're facing. So increased labour costs, of course, you know, and that's driven by a national living wage, but also just by the labour market. I mean, many parts of the country, you can't get people at or close to the statutory minimums. You have to pay quite a lot above that. The cost of product coming down the supply chain, because just as we're experiencing energy cost increases, so are our wholesalers, so are our suppliers. So all those costs are coming down the supply chain as well, and product cost increases, commodity price increases, and all sorts of commodities as well. So this is one of a number of cost increases, and the model probably will have to change. And I think we shouldn't probably, I don't know if I'm qualified to say exactly how that will change, but I think retailers will have to continue chilling products, heating products, because that's where you add value and that's where you can make margin, which is then what you can pay those additional costs out of and run your business out of. So it'd be very hard for retailers. And if retailers do take the view of saying, well, I'm going to cut back and, you know, massively cut back chilled space, going to massively cut back, I don't know, Bake Off and other things they're doing in store, maybe some retailers will make the decision and maybe it'll be the right one. But I think by and large, that will be kind of choosing a route to slower decline rather than sort of trying to find a way to trade out of the problem. But this is why, you know, for once, we are talking about store closures, because I think that will be an inevitable consequence if we don't get some of this support on quite a long-term basis.
Yeah. And Ed, for those who can invest, how important is that they do invest now, and what help is available for that?
Sure. So obviously the investments that you make now are going to pay dividends longer term, because this is, I think, a big structural shift in sort of energy costs, depending on all the geopolitical events that go on. But it's an overall big shift. And there's regulatory elements coming down the line that are requiring businesses to invest in more efficient property, premises, and plant and machinery that they might have in their store. So there's a requirement. So doing it now is a good thing to do if of course you can do that. Part of what is being looked at is around capital investment support. So how we can give more opportunities for retailers to write down their capital investment costs, more ways in which we use the business rate system. And one of the things we have been waiting for is for the non-domestic rates bill to come through, can be used to be able to reduce the business rates bills on green investments in particular. So whether that's solar panels or whether that's more insulation around your store or whatever it might be. So thinking about those investments is important now. But actually, going back to my point earlier on, is that, you know, from the government point of view, talking about those things is not as important as talking about the direct support you can give businesses, small businesses now, to help with the costs and the shock that they are facing up to spring, where we have the current projections.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I'm listening to this and I'm a retailer and I'm not happy with what's happening, I'm, you know, I want to get in touch with someone, I want to make my voice heard, what's the easiest way to do that?
The easiest way to do that is go onto our website. You can use our template email to send to your MP, which essentially outlines the points we've made today about the energy price cap, the support through the business rate system, and ask your MP to talk to the Chancellor and make that case. Because, you know, we haven't got long to that fiscal event for those interventions where they need to take action. And the more parliamentarians and ministers feel the weight of concern coming into their inboxes, the more likely they are to act. So I do urge you to go on, write to your MP, and tell them what you're facing. There's nothing more impactful than them seeing that direct cost to your business. So do go onto the website and contact your MP yourself.
Yeah, and given these uncertain times, you never know, your MP might end up being the next Chancellor.
Well, it certainly happened to the Cabinet, couldn't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, not a particularly cheery podcast this time around, but I think we have to be alive to the realities. We will be back when we hear more about the next fiscal event, whether that's an emergency budget, whether it's something smaller. We will be previewing, reviewing, depending on the timelines, what's going on. But please do get involved with this campaign. As Ed said, it's really important that you make your voice heard. Go to the website acs.org.uk/campaigns and you can scroll to the bottom there, put your postcode in, and contact your MP. So until then, keep a lookout in your inbox and on the website and on social media at ACS_localshops. And we will be back next time.